Eric Clapton is the first musician to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 3 times. He's won 15 Grammys, and last week he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. In part two of his Clapton profile, NPR's Tom Cole says that behind all the hits, at the core of Clapton's music is the blues.
Eric Clapton's last award, a Grammy, came in February for his last album, a collaboration with one of his musical heroes, B.B. King.
And love it to me in every way.
It's the purest form of music that I can actually engage with. And it's my first language. It's like English is my first language. Blues is my first musical language. So when I pick up a guitar, I start with that.
The first blues musicians Eric Clapton heard were not the electric players he came to love later, like B.B. King and Muddy Waters. They were folk or country blues musicians, Big Bill Brunzi and Lead Belly, always just one man with an acoustic guitar.
I said, this is what I want. This is uncluttered. There's no guy constructing arrangement around this. This man has total control over his music, his repertoire. How much better can it be?
Hey, 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 baby, hey. Love you, baby, sure ain't gonna be your dog.
It was not easy finding blues records in England in the early 1960s, says Tom McGinnis, who formed a band with Clapton in those days called the Roosters.
I literally remember being told of someone who lived a mile or two away from me who had a John Lee Hooker album. And I got his address, I found out where he lived, and I went and knocked on the door. And I said, does someone here own a John Lee Hooker album? And he said, yeah, looking at me like I'm, you know, some lunatic. And I said, could I look at it? And he brought it to the front door, you know, he was standing on the front doorstep. He didn't invite me in to hear it or anything like that. I just wanted to look at a John Lee Hooker album.
Both McGinnis and Clapton say they were drawn by the power of the music. And even though the records were hard to find, they were not freighted with the kind of political baggage attached to what was called race music in the United States.
I know from when I read about Buddy Holly's kind of experiences that this was kind of dangerous music. And we didn't have that there. When I saw Big Bill Brunzi on TV and I heard Chuck Berry on the radio, it was just music. And it was the most powerful music. And it had no sociological barriers. And it was only later when I started to do my own personal history work about the blues that I found out about the significance of the Mississippi Delta and everything. But the music came first.
And I am so glad. Yes, I'm glad. Until I just don't know what to do. And I am tired of weeping. I'm so tired of mourning. I'm so tired of groaning for you.
Eric Clapton's attachment to the blues was personal. Born to an unwed mother in a small English village, raised by grandparents he was led to believe were his parents, the young boy escaped into music.
I was withdrawing into my own world, and it gave me a reason to do all this kind of scholarly stuff. I mean, I was turning away from normal activities and going into isolation with a cause. Later on, I found people, also kind of screwed up people, you know, like you do, the nerds, you know, a bunch of nerds that had a like mind.
Clapton became a teenaged blues scholar. He found obscure records and tried to learn as much about the musicians as he could. One who intrigued him was the Louisiana guitarist and singer Blind Joe Reynolds.
You can't watch your wife and the outside women. You can't watch your wife and the outside women.
Clapton carried his research with him to his subsequent bands, the Yardbirds, John Mayall's Bluesbreakers, and Cream, which recorded the Blind Joe Reynolds song Outside Woman Blues on its second album in 1967.
Well, you can't watch your wife and your outside women too.
That was a nifty little piece of work, you know, to take that song and and make it into a band, arrange it for a band. I was very proud of that. And it was obscure, too. Because when you're out with your woman, your wife would be at home, cooking your food, doing your dirt. Buddy, what you trying to do?
Even scored a bit of a hit with Clapton's arrangement of I'm So Glad by the Mississippi guitarist and pianist Skip James. By this time, Clapton's guitar prowess had earned him legions of fans who scrawled graffiti in London's underground that read, Clapton is God. But not everyone appreciated a white Brit playing the blues, notably Rolling Stone magazine.
They called me the master of the cliche in the review. And I, being the kind of person who loves to beat myself up, ran with that for a long time. And I thought, well, that's what I am. And I have a limited vocabulary, and I will probably do the same thing over and over again, or write the same song over and over again and try to disguise it. But, I mean, I've found a way to accept that now. But at the time, I went into a shame spiral with that. And one of the reasons I wanted to escape the whole thing of being a guitar legend in the 70s was kind of was born in that little incident. So, you know, I began the road of, went into the dark, came out into the light. I mean, and now I've done a bit of work on it and actually accept who I am. I gambled on your love, babe. Yes, and got a losing hand.
It's not surprising that Eric Clapton hears something of himself in the blues, given what he's been through. A fractured childhood, the lack of confidence in his own abilities fueled by drugs and alcohol, the accidental death of his son 10 years ago.
It's been kind of the hinge pin of most of my conflict, just accepting how I came to be as a musician, and that a person like me, born in a place like England, could have become attracted to and made a career out of a music that doesn't really, on the face of it, have much connection to my cultural upbringing, and yet there is a connection in terms of the spiritual side of it, or the emotional side of it, psychological side of it.
And unlike a lot of rockers who appropriated blues songs, Eric Clapton was always careful to do his research and credit the composers.
I feel very fortunate that I've somehow made that into my attachment to the tree of music. You know, I've always felt that that was the most important part of my work, was to let people know where I got it from. And that way, I don't believe that adds to any kind of humility in my status, but it keeps me secure in my place in the picture.
At 56, Eric Clapton's done a bit more than simply secure a place in the picture. Just as he's tried to help others conquer their addictions by building a drug and alcohol treatment center, Clapton made sure Skip James received royalties for Cream's version of I'm So Glad. They helped pay the older blues musician's hospital bills at the end of his life. Tom Cole, NPR News, Washington.